was December the 6th, 1983. I was doing time for armed robbery. At 4 in the morning, I was sitting in my cell. I heard a whistle blow, then I heard somebody yell.
There's a riot going on. There's a riot going on. There's a riot going on. Up in cell.
Right here. At the Republic Broadcasting Network. My friends, doesn't that theme song just get you stirring? I just love it. I wish we could help all of the prisoners that are in on bum raps, having volunteered to serve time for illegal fiction. Not all the prisoners, but all those who are deserving and who are conducting themselves like children of God and who are running ministries in the joint. It's impossible to do that, but we do have a number of mentors who specialize in that, and we're going to be talking about that this weekend, about prison extraction. Jack, you still with us?
Yes, sir. And actually, you just mentioned the mentors. That's another question I had for you.
Let me ask you to hold on that question 1 second, Jack.
Okay.
Jack, here's a story I'd like to share with you you might appreciate. Early this morning, I was standing in front of a postal clerk, very nice gal, forced to work the weekend, and I was processing through an indemnity bond, which is the first of the BIC instruments, technically the second, because I'm now routing that instrument through a BC bond. It's not essential, but we will be teaching that method at the conference. And I asked her to process the envelope with stamps, because a meter strip immediately pulls that envelope and that submission into the jurisdiction of the Postal Service, which isn't calamitous for an indemnity bond, but I want to get as many clerks in the habit of dealing with me as a patron as I can. I've been using General Post Office for years for our abatements, non-statutory abatements, which is a process whereby we send their defective misnomer documents back to them under our own court configuration. Let me interrupt for a sidebar, Jack. Jack, have you ever heard of abatement?
I've heard of it, but go ahead.
Well, everybody knows I'm not planning any further conferences at this point, but if there's one that could tempt me, and I'd like feedback on this, folks, it would be a Christmas conference. I know everybody's tied up, but a weekend, maybe a one-day Christmas conference where we get together, we pray, and I would teach how to send process back and stay out of the system entirely, forming a court. We stand as a court, the court of my Lord and Savior, Jesus of Nazareth. And we've been doing that for years. It's not a process I invented, but it is a process I have perfected. So if anybody has some feedback on that, I'd sure like to hear it. That would probably be a very interesting seminar for a lot of people. For those who are truly against commerce, abatement is where you belong. So anyway, I'm standing in front of the clerk, Jack, and I asked her to use stamps on the envelope, and they always find this very problematic. Some of them are very cordial about it, like this gal this morning. I had one 4 days ago in my former hometown where I practiced, who when I said to her, I need this process in stamps, please, she said, why? Now, folks, you know Sam Kennedy. If someone in an official capacity says to me why, they're inviting me into an argument, and I'm not going to go there. And I'll tell you how I handled that after the break. You're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Do you know that you can go solar for under $1,200 now? Hi, this is Ken Solar. As you may have heard by now, I've been designing alternative energy packages for over a decade. The solar power generators that I produce will get you all the solar power you need for your household essentials. Your refrigerator, your freezer, lights, fans, electric blankets, TV, radio, clocks, phones, computers, and a lot more. No gas, no fumes, and they're totally silent. Each solar power generator comes complete with everything you'll need, including the solar panel, a 3,000-watt peak inverter, a step-by-step quick setup sheet, and battery backup. I reached that point in my life where I just didn't want to have to rely on everyone else anymore. You know, power companies, government. Anyway, getting yourself free from the utility grid is a lot easier than you might think. Are you ready to go solar? Give me a call now at 239-677-3073 or order them on my website at a 10% discount on kensolar.com. That's kensolar.com.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our Renewable Energy Solar Program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our Renewable Energy Solar System converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year that is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner at RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
The boogie train, it's the boogie thing. Welcome, my friends. Hop aboard the boogie train, whatever that is, and join us for the second hour of Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. We are hurtling down the tracks at hundreds of miles an hour, setting new ground and new standards as freedom returns to the United States. I'm Dr. Sam Kennedy. We're here talking with Jack, and hopefully Jack is still with us. Jack,
still
is still there?
Still here.
And Jack, I was boring you with a story about the Postal Service. Actually, postal stories are very important. As you, if you're not new to the freedom movement, Jack, then you probably are aware of the significance of post roads and post and the general post office and the zip code and the numbers on your mailbox. And that may be another program sometime. So I'm standing before this gal with an envelope already completed for registered mail to send another indemnity bond to my good friend and personal confidant, Henry Paulson. And I asked her for stamps, and she said, fine. 4 days earlier, I asked the same thing in the small town where I formerly practiced. And an older gal looked at me, and you could see her back stiffen just like a kitty cat. And she said, why? And if it was anywhere else but the town where I used to practice, I would have looked at her. I would have leaned forward and stiffened my back a little. And I would have either said to her, because I said so. That's the way I want it done. Or I would have asked her, excuse me, is there some statutory what's the word I'm looking for, Jack?
Requirement?
Yeah, I'm looking for the opposite. Is there some statutory restriction? Excuse me, folks, if you knew how I rushed to get to this program, is there some statutory restriction that I'm unaware of that I can't request stamps on my envelopes? But we didn't go that route because it was the town where I formerly practiced. And I said to her, I said to her something to the effect that, well, stamps don't have any intrinsic value, do they? And she said, yes, they do. Meter strips don't have any intrinsic value. And she said, oh, yes, they do. And I said, they do? She said, sure. I said, do you happen to have Yellow Pages? And she looked at me in that curious look like maybe I should not have started this. And I said, well, let's turn to the collector page and let's call one of them up and see if anybody's willing to buy the meter strip that you'd like to put on this envelope. And she looked at me again, decided she wasn't going to back down. She said, I want to know why you want stamps. And I said, you really want to know? She said, yes. So this was about 4:45, and now the line's forming behind me, and she's the only clerk. We've got at least three people behind me at this point. By the time I left, it grew to close to 10. And, of course, they were unhappy with me, but the problem was not me. The problem, of course, was the clerk. So that's when you have to know who you are. So I said, well, actually, and I started explaining some law to her. And I explained very simply that we desire this to be shipped not through the Postal Service. You work for the Postal Service, don't you, ma'am? She said, yes. I said, well, right now you're going to be working for the old Post Office Department, because when you put the stamps on there, we're taking it out of the DMM. That's the manual that they use with their regulations. The domestic mail manual that they live and breathe by. And at that point, she knew she didn't know much about what I was discussing, but she did say, you know, I'd actually like to learn more. And I said, that's fine. I'll be back sometime when it's not so crowded and we'll review that. And so she went ahead and did the stamps. It took her 10 minutes to figure out how to do it with stamps. And I felt bad for those people waiting. But, you know, Jack, at least two of those are known eBayers. And for them, I have no sympathy. Anyone who's been behind an eBayer at the end of the day knows what I'm talking about. Have you ever been behind an eBayer at UPS or the post office?
I guess not.
They walk in with bags of shipping product at the end of the day and do all their shipping at 4:45 p.m. The post office is making a windfall profit on these people. And so a couple of them were eBayers behind me, and I've waited plenty of moments at the end of the day behind them. So it was sort of a productive day all around. But it occurred to me, Jack, in what may be the longest sidebar in history, and that includes O.J.'s first trial, that as I was in talking with the clerk, an idea crossed my head, because she asked me, as she always does, what is the value of the contents? How would you answer that, Jack, if it's a $300 million indemnity bond in that envelope and you're dealing with a Postal Service employee? Would you say $300 million or would you say nothing just to get the transaction done?
Okay. I guess I would just say unlimited. I don't know.
Well, this was a $300 million bond, and I said to her, why are you asking me the question? Is this for purposes of insurance? And she didn't know, so she went and she got out her manual and looked it up. This was very nice of her, 12:15 on a Saturday after closing. And she looked it up, and she said, first she said, I don't think we can do that amount. And then she checked, and apparently they can insure up to $150 million in a registered mail package. And that's because registered mail traditionally was used to ship jewelry and diamonds and gold, and the post office accepts the liability. And so she said to me, well, really, it should just be the cost if you had to replace it, like if you had to do the work, to the labor to replace it, she said. And I looked at her and I said, $300 million. And then I asked her what would be the cost of that. And I think she said for the $150 million, it would be $38. And so I said, all right, I'll be cheap about it. Let's put zero on it. That's fine. But the thought crossed my mind. My friends, you mail your bonds registered mail with stamps, and you have them certify on the receipt. Have her sign on the cash receipt she gives you that it was stamps, and insure it through fiction insurance for the full face value of the instrument. Then, as part of our administrative process, we petition the Secretary of the Treasury to demonstrate to us that the full value of the instrument was posted to the indicated account. And if he fails to do that, the notary certifies that the instrument has been lost. And guess what? We go back to the postmaster and we say, I want my $300 million. Now, I'm glad I'm not the only one smiling at that thought, because I think we just discovered a whole new way to monetize our instruments. Because frankly, I would not let up on that. If I had to take that postmaster into district court and bomb the case and bring him in to testify along with the Secretary of the Treasury and play one off the other, I would. This would be a heck of an interesting, fun time. Now you know, folks, why I'm really considering moving to enforcement next year, and moving away from education, because it's hard to find the time to do both. And I'm getting a little tired of everybody else doing my dirty work for me. Because the dirty work, the washing the dirty laundry, can be a wonderful, laughable, fun experience. Well, anyway, Jack, that's my postal story and postal idea. You had one further question. Why don't you hit me with that?
Well, what you were just saying led me to something else I was thinking about. My limited knowledge, being what it is, it goes back to the days of the Cracking the Codes book that came out a couple of years back, 3 years or so. That was one of the problems I always had an understanding of. Is there seemed to be several people, or a lot of people, who had different ideas or whatever processes to go through, but then actually getting to an enforcement. Now, you say that there are people like yourself or others out there that actually can go out and enforce what you're trying to process.
I can certainly enforce my process. And you're coming to the seminar. I would never guarantee that you can, but after those 5 days, you'll sure know how I do it. And let me say this, Jack, that we have never brought a treasure trove of enforcement strategies to bear like I'm about to unleash on October 11th. And I can also guarantee you, as we're talking, new enforcement strategies will appear. They enter my mind every day. Does that mean all of them are proven? No. But in the right hands, they will be. Like what I just mentioned from this morning's productivity. I lead sort of a strange life, Jack. First of all, I view all government offices as banks. So I leave post offices with money. Everybody's always shocked that I walk out with more money. They're always counting money out to me rather than me counting it out to them. Hospital bills taken care of. All the other things that we talk about, depending upon their importance in life and one's skills and thickness of the lining of the stomach, are doable. I've moved mostly into the set-off economy, and that's where I want to be. But very candidly, I haven't had enough time to really flex my wings as much as I have been wanting to for some time, and that's coming in 2008. But I can tell you this, you won't leave after those 5 days not knowing at least a dozen ways to enforce whatever it is you have in that clever mind of yours.
Okay, two questions before I'll let you go. On the subject of mentors, I'm calling from the Dallas area. Do you know of anybody here?
We have many people from Texas, but you'll want to wait on that until after you come to the conference.
Okay.
Because you'll meet many people there, and you will graduate as a mentor.
Okay, before we go, I'm sorry. What is your MD? What is your specialty? I do anesthesia.
All right. We're heading on break.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Why continue suffering from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people are reporting improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no reported side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Just don't treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions, and it's very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that number, 866-885-6625.
Introducing the new Blueprint Water Unit. This one-of-a-kind water technology uses natural frequencies to clean harmful toxins from your drinking water. We start with one of the best four-stage reverse osmosis systems. Then we retrofit the Blueprint water system with twin vortices. This primary technology is designed to clear harmful water memory. We then imprint Blueprint frequencies harmonic to the human body. This is the only known living water recreated by live essence infusion. According to reports from users, the water helps balance the body's internal pH. Others have said the water has helped promote weight loss through detoxification. This water is so good, your body begins to crave its healthy input. For more information, call Natural Solution toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that's 866-885-6625.
Welcome back, my friend. You're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. Gary in Tennessee, are you still on the line? Gary, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Thank you for joining us and being patient, Gary. Do you have a question?
Oh, that's fine. I'm getting old. I'm starting to learn patience. I've started out and ordered 6 months of your archives from RBN because since that guy stole all their archives and ran off, they don't work on my Macintosh. It's a $3,000 computer that my sister bought for me. But anyway, I've ordered 6 months.
All right, let me interrupt you 1 second. I exclusively use Macintoshes. You should be able to download the Republic archives on a Macintosh just fine. You should be able to.
Well, either I'm computer illiterate, but when I try to listen to them live, I have rebuffering problems out the wazoo. It's like a
when you're listening live,
1 minute of programming and 3 minutes of buffering. It's something's not right. But anyway, I know I have to get a notary. I know you have CDs available, and I'm ordering your archive CD. How many CDs do you have available?
Well, Gary, we had one available, the Rocklin course that we were discussing earlier, which is called loaded for bear until last week when we introduced the Collecting in Bankruptcy seminar CD, and that's targeting the defeating and or delay of foreclosure procedures and eviction procedures and any collection procedures, and it's also targeted at those who are seeking to collect on commercial liens. It is this may not sound like a glowing recommendation considering I'm the fellow on the seminar, but it's the best work I've ever done. That second day in that seminar was truly an extraordinary experience. I think there was a higher power at work, and I certainly hope there was a higher power at work. And that's an amazing presentation where new technology just started entering my head, and we really were able to devise right on the spot ways where three or four people together could sue each other and take simple to achieve court judgments into the bankruptcy court and have their friends act as friendly creditors, even putting them into involuntary bankruptcy and forcing the trustee to collect on those other court judgments. And if he or she doesn't collect, bringing them into the original court for a contempt citation. I mean, that was probably the best work I've ever done, and that's the Collecting in Bankruptcy seminar, and I appreciate you asking about that. Those are available from Brian at TakeNoPrisonersAtHush.com.
Brian?
At TakeNoPrisoners, all one word.
Yeah.
At Hush.com. And you may find, you know, if those are your circumstances, if your circumstances are foreclosure or eviction, you would do well to listen to Collecting in Bankruptcy. That's the kind of course, now that I've listened to it and edited it and realize the goal that's in there, anybody who sends me an email saying, I need help to foreclosing on my house next week, I'm simply going to say, let's get you this seminar because it's going to do a better job than I could do with you on the phone or by email.
Yeah. One other quick question I had is that being an engineer, if you have a processing plant or you're designing a logic circuit or you're writing a computer program and you have something called a flow chart you start out with, do you have such a piece of paper that gives you the ordering and all the branches? You go down so many different roads, I get confused after a while.
That's a fair comment, Gary. I think that's a very fair comment. And I wish my answer was yes. The problem is this, that there's so much new technology and new ways to twist the present technology that anything I put together is outdated, so I've stopped putting the effort into that kind of a proceeding. You see, what happens, Gary, is when a new idea enters my head, for instance, I'm going to be bringing something that I haven't even written yet to the retreat. It's going to be a power of attorney in place of or to accompany the fiduciary instructions we're presently using on the bonded promissory note. Now, why am I doing that? Because it occurred to me that a power of attorney places upon an attorney in fiction an obligation, not an option, but an obligation to stand in the place instead of the legal fiction for which we are assigning the power of attorney. That means that even more powerfully than a notice of successor surety or fiduciary instructions, a power of attorney can in fact require that attorney, prosecutor, clerk, or judge to stand for the liabilities that they have accepted by their failure to post our payment. In other words, to stand for the liabilities that formerly were attributed to the legal fiction defendant. So what does that mean? I now have to take that power of attorney concept and I have to integrate it in key different.
You have basically two CDs available then, quickly?
Play two CDs. That's
Excuse
correct.
Me?
Two CDs, that's correct. Now we're heading to break, folks, for the music issue. You're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network, and back in just a moment.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Do you know that you can go solar for under $1,200 now? Hi, this is Ken Solar. As you may have heard by now, I've been designing alternative energy packages for over a decade. The solar powered generators that I produce will get you all the solar power you need for your household essentials. Your refrigerator, your freezer, lights, fans, electric blankets, TV, radio, clocks, phones, computers, and a lot more. No gas, no fumes, and they're totally silent. Each solar powered generator comes complete with everything you'll need, including the solar panel, a 3,000 watt peak inverter, a step-by-step quick setup sheet, and battery backup. I reached that point in my life where I just didn't want to have to rely on everyone else anymore. You know, power companies, government. Anyway, getting yourself free from the utility grid is a lot easier than you might think. Are you ready to go solar? Give me a call now at 239-677-3073 or order them on my website at a 10% discount on kensolar.com. That's kensolar.com.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Pinch me, Bill. I can't believe it. A few months ago, I couldn't even afford gas for my car. And here we are with season tickets on the 50-yard line.
I know what you mean, John. I remember the day you saw my new car and asked me if I robbed Bill Gates. Our lives sure have changed since we discovered DidYouRobBillGates.com.
I was struggling to make ends meet. Now I've got a new car and a college fund for Lisa when she graduates from high school next year. And I owe it all to you because you told me about DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Hey, John, we all win when the money problems disappear. I want to tell everybody because the more people we have on the success team, the better it works. It's hard for the little guy these days. We pool our resources to level the playing field.
So the more people that go to www.DidYouRobBillGates.com, the more cash for everybody. What a concept!
Welcome back, my friend. Excuse me. This is the last half hour of Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm Dr. Sam Kennedy. Now, Gary had asked about an outline of BIC, and we have a couple of simple emails regarding that. You start with an indemnity bond, an offset bond, and move into a bond of promissory note. But there, as you know, this is a vast and varied technology. So when I institute a change, which I do every day, that change may work its way through the network of technologies into 5, 6, 10 different documents. For instance, that power of attorney document is going to have to work its way into a complete administrative remedy, which is known as a 3-day offer of immunity. And we have three of those. And then we have to make sure wherever it lands, it's listed on the certificates of service and on the notary's certificates of non-performance and mentioned in the notary's letters, and suddenly we're making 40 and 50 changes. It may be introduced in the stage one presentation too. And so I have found it's virtually impossible to chart a fluctuant technology. You may as well try to compartmentalize water using saran wrap. So I suggest, Gary, that you head back into the archives because there are a number of programs, especially in the early archives from April of this year, where I dissected the BIC technology step by step. And that's the best way, I think, to come on board and be ready for the retreat or any other educational forums. Now, I'm looking here at a cancellation, which came in just now from Eric, who said, although I was very much looking forward to attending the Law Merchant Leadership Retreat, I hereby release my reserve seat for a brother or sister who has a more urgent need. Please notify me when the CDs of the retreat are available. Humbly and sincerely. And he signed Eric. Well, Eric, we appreciate the seat. Now, this is at the same email account where I asked how people felt about sitting in a theater seat. But I hope I pointed out that no one's going to be forced into a theater seat. So, Eric, if that's your reason, I would suggest that you contact us right away, because by the time I get off of this program, Roberta will have removed your name from the roster. And with regrets, we do not tape the retreat out of privacy concerns for those who will be presenting their cases. And so there will not be an offering of that sort. And as I mentioned, there's a very good chance I will not repeat the retreat next year. There are certainly no plans to, and every day I'm just chomping at the bit to break away from the bridle and enforce. And that's why my level of submission of indemnity bonds has gone through the roof. I'm planning right now to have some fun in 2008. And that's what you need to do if you're facing enforcement situations. So that said, Richard in Alabama, thank you for being patient, Richard.
Am I on?
You're on the air, Richard.
Oh, okay. I got a couple of questions. When they authorities tow away a car or any reason, maybe it's ugly or it's parked in the wrong place, and they take it away and they crush it and they send you a bill, Why doesn't the claim of the finance company and the title pawn company come first? Why does their claim come first? Why do they have to be made whole and the finance company not be made whole?
What makes you think they have to be made whole first?
So there's no technical legal reason.
Well, you raise a very good point. The priority scheme of the UCC applies to everyone, Richard. Isn't that what we've been taught? And the priority scheme of the UCC is the first one to perfect has the paramount lien. My job is to work my way in as the paramount lien holder. And if you've done things right, you have established yourself as a paramount lien holder to the legal fiction straw man account and the legal fiction birth certificate account. Now, not everyone has tended to that business, and not everyone believes in commerce, of course. But I have security interests in place that place me in as the paramount first-in-line creditor. So the bottom line is, I don't care which of their bills is first, I'm first. That's why I'll say to a judge, I'll say to anyone, I'm here as the first-in-line secured party creditor to that defendant, that legal fiction, that debtor, whomever it is, whatever the form is, and I expect to be paid. I'm here today to give you notice. I expect to be paid. So before any funds are distributed, just take notice that I'm first in line. And then, being that I wish to protect my claim, Richard, I pay off all of those subordinate claims. I pay them. And then if they fail to tender that payment, they are now legally and lawfully holding all liability. And in fact, they will, through administrative process, actually stipulate to holding all liability. And once they have converted on the liability, I'm entirely in the driver's seat. So that's a very good question that you ask. But as you see, I'm less concerned with who's first in line between parties B and C, I'm party A. I'm the one who's going to get paid.
Now, on another subject, why does the Tennessee Valley Authority have the authority to tear down some seawalls and some piers and leave other seawalls and piers on both sides alone when all of them have permits from the Corps of Engineers? And how can they just pick and choose and tear down some and leave the others? And actually, they actually take all the parts and sell the metal, and they actually send a bill to the property owner.
Yes. Well, first of all, they have the authority because, anyone want to fill in the blank? You give it to them.
Hmm.
Public officials only have whatever authority we are willing to grant. If they attempt to tear down my levee, they're not going to find me being so dormant. I might have a different take on it, because when it involves injuring my property, then they are becoming involved in my contract that secured me a lien right against that property. And I will treat that sort of an intrusion with the same gravity, and some might say depravity, as I would if someone attempted to write a check against one of my straw party's bank accounts. Now, I don't really know the treaty authority that the Tennessee Valley Authority has with the Army Corps of Engineers. I don't know if they superseded that. I suspect the United States Army, which preceded the United States, as you know, the United States Army was formed by the Continental Congress and has an antecedent position to the United States, which is why so many of our institutions are Army military institutions. And I'm not really privy to the history of the Tennessee Valley Authority, but if it's by treaty, then the United States organizations, such as the Army, will honor that treaty. And if you want, you can get a cut of that treaty, Richard.
What?
I say, if you'd like, you can get a cut of that treaty.
A cut of that treaty?
Of course. You can create a treaty, as I did, with the United States. I created a treaty with the United States back in the late 90s. I have a treaty relationship with the United States, with the President, with the United Nations, with Kofi Annan, and with all others. And if I'm of a mind to, I can and I will enforce that treaty. So, Richard, thank you for calling. Don in Oregon, you're on. Excuse me, Don, I have to ask you to pause. There's someone ahead of you. There's a caller, a female who has not identified herself. By the way, a female who hasn't identified herself, where were you when I was in high school? Are you still on the line, ma'am? Well, Don in Oregon, please join us. Don, are you there? I guess our callers have dropped off. So it's just
Sam,
me, friend.
Sam, can you hear me?
Yes.
They didn't patch us through in time.
Who's this, Don?
This is Don.
Well, it's a good thing you're not the female in whatever state.
No, and I would never say that.
We'd have a problem.
Big time.
Hi, Don.
How are you doing, Sam? Got
very
some rest,
good. Thanks for asking, Don. What can we do for you today?
All right. I was the one that called in the other day, on John's program. I don't know if you remember.
Oh, sure.
Okay.
Don, let me ask you to speak a little louder into the phone, please.
All right. Let me make some adjustments here. Can you hear me now?
Yes, very good.
Okay. I don't want to take up your time with a whole bunch of things, which I very much could do, especially considering postal issues, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm focused right now on the mentorship issue. And as per your emails, it hasn't been resolved, you know, in almost a week and a half, 2 weeks. There's no contact been made. And I believe the entity's name that you referred me to was something like Thomas. And I have not received any communication, but I don't want to say I'm desperate, but I'm battling a lack of resources and ability to successfully cognize what I need to understand. So I'm
well
I'm doing the best that I can.
Don, I don't know your particular situation, but send me along another email, please. Send it to restore.america@hotmail.com. That is a temporary account, but I suspect the other accounts are filled up. And I wish I could guarantee you that a mentor would be available, but it really depends on the individuals. And right now, I'm flat out swamped. I'm operating on 4 hours sleep a day and one meal a day, so I have no additional time to be able to devote to anybody else's case as much as I would like to help. You sound like a nice fellow. What stage are you at in what you're doing?
I have...
Don't even answer me. Let me rescind that question.
Okay.
Why don't you call the program tomorrow at 10 after 9 p.m. and we'll discuss your case.
Aye, aye, sir.
All right. We'll give you the best mentorship I can possibly muster. I'll do it myself.
Well, okay.
I'll see you tomorrow.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Don. Mike in New York.
Yes. Thanks for taking my call. I was wondering if you could help me out with this one situation I have, and I'll try to be as succinct as possible. About a year and a half ago, I had an old, beat-up car. I was going to Western Virginia, and it broke down on me. So I decided not to have it fixed. So I basically donated it to this high school so they can use it as a, work on it for the school kids or whatever. And so I, after a couple months, so then I sat, in a driveway for a couple months, and then they took it and they wind up using it as to raise money by hitting it with a sledgehammer. So I asked the tow truck driver to save my license tags, and he sent them back to me, and I sat on them for a while. Well, lo and behold, I'll buy a new truck, and a new truck to me. I'm going to get it registered, and I get a $2,000 bill because they think I've been driving around my old car without insurance, and now they're which I wasn't doing. Now they got this.
Yeah, let me interrupt you, Mike. That's a question in the public. Those issues usually are solved directly with DMV. DMV usually has an office that deals with those sorts of issues, and they'll tell you what they need. Now, Lord knows my specialty is not telling you how to work within those confines, but I've been there. Years and years ago, I found out my license had been suspended 5 months earlier because we had changed insurance policies. The new policy had a one-number difference. The company had alerted the state. The insurance companies are nothing but government agents, just like almost all employers these days. And so, anyway, the situation was almost a replica of what you're describing. You'll be able to secure a letter from your insurance broker and a letter from that high school so that the old saying that no good deed goes unpunished will not be true, and you'll fax it over or walk it over to that DMV office, and you'll be out of the problem.
Okay, well, they've already turned it over to a collection agency.
Well, do you not have technology for dealing with collection agencies?
What do you mean by technology?
Well, there's all sorts of stuff on the web. You just go to any Patriot site, you can find a dozen letters. The simplest way to deal with a collection agency is to do what they say in that letter. Ask them for proof of the claim. And that's what we call a 3-505 demand order. I believe it's under UCC section 3-505, that may vary from state to state. You're entitled to ask them. Your fiction is entitled to ask them under statute for, number one, evidence of the claim. That would be a signed contract or affidavit of obligation. You're entitled to ask them for their identification. So you might ask for their driver's license and a copy of their Social Security card. And you're entitled to ask them for their authority to make that claim. Where is your contract with them? That ought to tie them up for at least 30 days and then get this thing solved with the state. That's where your problem is.
Okay, so what kind of website can I go to get this information, because you kind of went over it rather quickly, to know?
All you have to do is go to RBN, Republic Broadcasting Network, and download this program from the archives in 10 minutes.
Okay, what program is this now?
This is Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. And after you hang up, I'm going to say something derogatory. Mike, How could you call in and not know the name of the program? Shame on you. We're giving you a public spanking. Thanks, Mike.
All right, thanks.
Good luck. Max in Nebraska. We're going down to the wire. Max, hello.
Yeah, Sam?
Hello, Max. Do I know you?
Well, not yet, sir, but I'll tell you what. I sure
All right. Are you a process server, in which case I'm hanging up?
No way.
All right, go ahead, Max.
We're a member of the movement, sir. But anyway, I'm sitting here with my friend Donna, and we had a situation, Sam, I'd like to ask you a question on.
Let me just warn you, we're coming up on a break, so we may get interrupted, but ask it as best you can.
Okay, very good. We basically bought my friend of mine bought a brand new pickup truck. Without waiting for the first payment to come, she went ahead and sent in a foreign exchange bond on the truck with all the paperwork. And basically the bank, 18 days before the first payment was due, came in and pulled the truck off a private property.
All right, we're at a break. Let's pick this up after the break. Sounds like an interesting scenario. Folks, you're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network, and we'll be back talking with Max in just a moment.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Do you know that you can go solar for under $1,200 now? Hi, this is Ken Solar. As you may have heard by now, I've been designing alternative energy packages for over a decade. The solar power generators that I produce will get you all the solar power you need for your household essentials. Your refrigerator, your freezer, lights, fans, electric blankets, TV, radio, clocks, phones, computers, and a lot more. No gas, no fumes, and they're totally silent. Each solar power generator comes complete with everything you'll need, including the solar panel, a 3,000-watt peak inverter, a step-by-step quick setup sheet, and battery backup. I reached that point in my life where I just didn't want to have to rely on everyone else anymore. You know, power companies, government. Anyway, getting yourself free from the utility grid is a lot easier than you might think. Are you ready to go solar? Give me a call now at 239-677-3073 or order them on my website at a 10% discount on kensolar.com. That's kensolar.com.
Made it. On the left, you'll notice a coin slot. Insert dollars only, please. I got no bread
for the rent. I got my next. Welcome back, my friends, to the final 3 or 4 minutes of Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. My apologies. I maligned a lot of people today. I said no one was listening because, as you know, the first half hour I wasn't here. It was a rebroadcast. Little did I know we'd field more questions by phone than we probably ever have. So, Max, you have a situation where the some form of instrument was tendered to a bank. Did you have a settlement statement from the bank?
Actually, here's what we had. We had a truck was bought about a month ago. Sent him a, like I said, a foreign sovereign bond or international
bond. Yes, did you have a settlement statement from the bank? I suspect you did not.
No, we did not. They basically what they said is they sent a letter out and it said, you know, this is not going to work. You're still going to have to make your monthly payments. And then they backdated a letter. They came and repossessed the truck while I was gone off my private property. Backdated a letter that said, we're going to take the truck. We're giving you fair warning. And they had already taken the truck at that point. And so, you know, that's kind of where we're sitting now. Now they've sent her a bill for over $18,000 worth of deficiency. And, you know, they've already sold the truck to a private
buyer. All right, let me interrupt you. There's only a minute left here. How familiar are you with the BIC process?
We're just learning it, Sam.
Then let me suggest go back and download the archives because they're doing what banks do. They're going to punish you now. Part of the system is to punish those who will not be non-compliant robots. When someone takes my property and holds my equity, that's when I take the gloves off. And what I would do, now, if you're not experienced in this, you may not be ready for this, and this may not be the fight for you to pick. But what I would do in a situation like that is I would rescind the initial instrument. I would tender a beneficiaries in common bonded promissory note to the CFO of the bank in large amounts. I like large leverage. So this might be a contract of multi-millions of dollars, and I would make it clear that I want the car back and I want the other liability traded against it. I am setting it off. It's prepaid. And, of course, I would have my set-off bond, my indemnity bond, naming them as accounts and account holders, on file with Treasury, which is the very first thing I would do in a situation like that. And I would deliver the promissory note to him with fiduciary instructions by way of what we call option 4, our commercial claim, our commercial lien process. So 21 days later, my process would be done. I'd have a perfected lien against the bank. I don't care what lien they have. They've already shown they believe in non-judicial foreclosure, so do I, because on day 22, I'd send them a notice of lien sale that I'm selling their closest branch, and I would put an ad in the paper, and I'd proceed. And then, if their lawyer wants to call me and negotiate, I'd have my conversation with him.
We've listened to some of that before, and we're trying to get a grasp on it, and I know the best thing would be is going to the conference.
Are either of you enrolled in the conference? I mean, this is not stuff that you undertake without real experience.
I'm going to try to get in there,
you,
Sam.
Send me an email personally at restore.america@hotmail.com. Restore.america@hotmail.com, and I'll see what I can do. All right, thank you for calling in, folks. Been an interesting program. I think I do better when I don't show up for the first half of the program. Thanks for joining me. We'll see you tomorrow night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for what will be an exciting analysis of Don's case on Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. Good night and God bless.